Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer, and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The BMC is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. But if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. Of course, if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Every profession needs its heroes, the people who have the courage to challenge convention, drive outstanding achievement, and give our discipline a noble name. In this episode, we'll be speaking in depth to one such hero, learn about what they do, how they've got here, and a bit about what's made them who they are today. I'm delighted to be joined today by Strategic Marketing Director of Juniper Networks, Jay Tatil. Jay, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Dave. This is really nice. Good to be here.
It's really good to have you on board. So I happen to know you're a bit of a jet setter. So I have to ask this question up front. Where in the world do we find you today?
Today, I'm in the UK in a small town called Reading, not far off from London. Yesterday, I was in Germany, so I'm happy to be back at home. Talking to you here.
Yeah, and you, because I know from our conversations on LinkedIn, I think you've been also in the Americas, haven't you, recently? Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you certainly seem to travel. So that then begs the question, what does a strategic marketing director do?
Oh, it's something of a made up of a title, right? That's not the thing, no. What we try to do is like bring in those what we call the strategic initiatives, which is like not that is relevant currently in the market, yes, to a certain extent, but what's coming next for the organization? What is the latest and the greatest in the technology industry? And how we position ourselves as a thought leader, as someone who is driving that leadership in those areas, and how we promote that externally. That's my main job, and my team supports me with that as well.
So you're very future facing, and I should say this is a Juniper network. So you should give us a line or two on what Juniper Networks do.
Yeah, Juniper Networks is the name is itself is like kind of self-explanatory. We are in the networking business. We have been a leader in our IP routing and switching components, which is the part of the network, the plumbing bit. We have now. It's largely like, we have now acquired a few more organizations in the last couple of years, and then we have expanded our scope. We are looking into software, we are enterprise as a new segment. We have been growing heavily with our MIST portfolio. Then our recent foray into parts of the network that we were not playing earlier, we are driving some of the initiatives over there as well. So yeah, it's a networking organization based, headquarters based in the US. That's also, as you were mentioning, like, why my US trip, right, happening.
Okay. And you gave me a if you don't mind me saying, quite a broad definition of a strategic marketing director. You basically said it's about the future. So that seems to me to give you and your team the option to actually focus wherever the hell you like. So tell us, which bits of that do you choose to focus on? Where do you think the real areas worthy of your attention are?
Yeah, it's the technology industry, right? So if you look from how telecommunication industry is evolving, whether it's from the service providers or enterprises, there is this next generation of technology, like 5G going to 6G. And then you hear all the time about cloud. There's something, everything is in the cloud. Something is happening in the cloud. Then I would say it can make it broader in terms of quantum computing, how it is useful in terms of securing your network. So it is still a broad brush, but I would say these are the areas that we are focusing on. Of course, future is bright and it's very, very broad, as you mentioned, but we do really need to focus on the areas where we can add value. And this is 5G, cloud, connectivity, enterprise, Wi-Fi, private 5G, et cetera, are the areas that we would be focusing on.
Would you say actually it's the discipline of focusing that is actually one of the key challenges of the job?
It is, especially when the company doesn't see immediate returns, right? This is not the business. We have a product portfolio that we are selling, whereas like I have to go out and showcase what is the future and how we promote that. So focusing is not as much of an issue, other than, you know, you need to get the buy-in from the wider organization to say like, you know, yes, this is where we need to look at. And again, there are silos within organization which we need to align all the time to bring in this perspective, right?
Okay. So can you take us way back to the start of your career? Because I'm kind of really interested in what's your career journey? How did you get here? And maybe in particular, if you can help those people who are kind of just starting out on their career, if there are any kind of tips that you can give them as to what you've learned along the way, that would be great.
Sure. So I started, it's been a while. I started as a software engineer, slowly moving to, this is the time when the web was becoming a bigger thing, right? Started programming in there, moved into project management, where we said like, oh, everybody needs web, so everybody needs to do stuff around that. So developing software for web and managing those. So I did that for a while. And then I moved on to, I said like, okay, I need to get into a bigger role. So I did a MBA for Management Business Administration in the UK, in Manchester. And then I moved into the telecom sector. It is not far off from the IT world, but telecom is still very different animal. Right? So I started as a business consultant in that area. And this took me all over the world, advising especially mobile operators in terms of what their go-to-market strategies, what kind of services they need to launch, what are the products that they need to take to market. Then I moved into operational transformation, even from a consulting perspective, looking more into the working of an operator as a customer and trying to understand their processes, the operations, automation, and how you can efficiently manage those things. Then eventually I landed in marketing, where I did a lot of things around cloud, 5G, innovations, and it's still ongoing. Right? So I've been doing like several of, and customer experience management as well. But I would say like in this, all this led to marketing, whatever I did, the skills, I felt like this is the learning process that, and the skills that I acquired, it was very helpful in marketing. From the IT side, I got closer to the technology, trying to understand how the technology worked. Then went into consulting, you would understand how the customer thinks and behaves, how you can advise them. And then you go into transformation, operational transformation, you know how the customer, their processes and things work. So all these are helpful in as a marketeer for me to look at the customer and say, like, how can I tailor something to this audience who can consume the things that we want to give in a way that is appealing to them, right? So that I would say is like a key part, a journey that you need to take. And marketing is different for different organizations. So it's important that you need to dip your toes into what companies are doing, strategy, products, the technology, especially if it's IT and telecoms, right? And no one can understand it fully, but this will help you to shape and take your marketing strategy towards like in a way you want to, rather than doing it blind. And it's a very crowded market. And if you need to stand out, you really need to get that view from both the sides, from your side as well as from the customer side. That I would say is the key learning that I can impart, I would say, if you can.
So, I mean, but in your case, you really have had a journey.
Yes.
In your career. Did you start out knowing what the destination would be?
No, I was always up for a challenge. And I think like it's unknown that excites me a lot, right? So, I mean, even if I start, like I am a chemical engineer, that's what I never worked in chemical engineer. And I read the wave of the software, you know, uptake that was happening. And then like, let me get it. Computers always fascinated me. That's how I started. I didn't know whether it was still, I mean, it's a journey, as you said, like, and you don't know whether it's your true calling until you reach that. And for me, like, I find marketing as the true calling. I enjoy the bits in marketing. I enjoy the fact that I can understand what customers are saying, their technical problem. Often marketeers are being considered as very disconnected to reality, right? Many of them, oh, you're just projecting things. But I think like this helps you to marry those and helps you drive forward.
And what would you say is the latest in business marketing? What's kind of keeping you engaged right now?
I would say it's the digital marketing, as you have seen, especially with the pandemic, this has become like really relevant or accelerated in terms of how you are reaching your audience has become really different. We don't have those big events that used to happen, even though it's making a comeback. But you know, that is something. So we need to think differently how you can engage someone digitally when they have access to a barrage of things that are coming to us. So I think like this is finding a way to get connected to them. So that is something that is we keep on evolving and exploring from our end. And I think like there are themes that are emerging. For example, influencer marketing. You hear a lot around those. And B2C, that has been happening since the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter days. But now even the B2B, business to business, also is trying to tap into that area, the potential that it can have, how some of the influencers talking about technology can make people understand what it means for them, right, from a technology perspective, not getting into the weeds of how this thing is communicating with these things, but it will give them a perspective of this is how it is enabling us to do certain things, making a phone call, talking to a friend, having a video call, etc. So those would be, I say, like a couple of examples that I can throw in over there.
As you mentioned the pandemic, I wonder, has that changed the approach to strategic marketing that you and your team undertake? You know, you all of a sudden this big unexpected left of field thing happens, and I wonder whether as a consequence of that, I don't know, maybe strategic marketers are becoming a bit more short-termist.
It doesn't. It's just that like we needed to pivot more online way of engaging with the customer, assessing the market, bringing those messages out there, right? If I take the example of a demo, we talk about like, let's do a demo about a new technology that's coming in, very experiential. And the challenge would be like earlier, you have a big trade show, you take customers over there, put some VR AR glasses on to say, hey, experience this whole thing. Right? You can take them through that. Now you don't have that. So you need to kind of simulate that environment online, trying to tap into the advances in technology to narrate your story to the customer. Right? So I think like it still very much exists. The collaboration still happens. I mean, telecom industry is one of the industries that thrived during pandemic compared to many others. So the collaboration, the era of Zoom and Teams and all those calls coming in, the collaboration is even more. You really need to tap into that, go with the right technology, right messaging, and then proceed. So I don't think like it has diminished at all. Even more like strategic marketing, suddenly companies are at a loss in terms of how do we navigate through this? And strategic marketing has a bigger role to play in that.
Mm. There wasn't a point in the early days maybe of the pandemic where actually you thought, my goodness me, we're living so hand to mouth here that actually maybe strategy needs to take a holiday.
Not really. I mean, like that means like, and I'll be jobless. That's a different thing. No, I think like, of course, you really need to be sensitive in terms of the amount of messaging that you do. We always have been, and we need to right now. There's a conflict that's happening in Europe that is creating issues. Mm. It's earlier pandemic. So you really need to be sensitive in what sort of messages that you want to bring, right? You take an example. I mean, we would be careful about when the pandemic is at the don't show parties, right? as a child, oh, this is a party. This is a great thing. Everybody come together and do this stuff and people cannot talk to their loved ones. So you really needed to be sensitive. But I never felt that like, you know, strategic marketing didn't have a role at any point of time. I thought like even more, as I was mentioning, the organization needed to attach to strategic marketing to find their path to the outside world a bit more on that front. And then the new technologies kept on coming, right? In terms of suddenly the era of Zoom, the video technology, the bandwidth that it was taking up, connectivity, you really needed to deliver enterprise-like connectivity to the homes because everybody's working from home. Mm. There are new avenues that have come up which substantially increase the scope, and that pivot strategic marketing could definitely help with that.
Mm. And the the big debate of the moment is kind of where that model is going to go next. Are we going into a world of hybrid working, or, you know, will there'll be a greater push to get people back into the office? With your crystal ball, where do you see things falling out?
I think it's definitely going to be a hybrid model. Earlier, hybrid used to be more work from home and then coming one day. Now, I think like it's slowly, I mean, there's a huge real estate that the companies have bought in and running, right? And if you really need to maintain that, they need to justify it. There'll be obviously many companies switching completely to work from home where they feel like, you know, hey, this has been working. This gets really good. And you don't need to have this overhead that you do otherwise, right? So they feel like you can move to that. There are certain companies where you feel you really need to have that face-to-face discussions to advance further. Of course, it will work the other way for a shorter period of time, but you need it. Then I think like above all, mental health. Some people are used to it, some people cannot. Some people live in really small flats and this could be their way out to the world and trying to interact. So you need to, if I were the CEO of the company, like, and I would have to look at this and keep it in a balance. I know people have moved on to a certain way of working. You really need to slowly bring them to the hybrid model and also see like, you know, what is best for them, right? Which can give you the most benefit for your organization, because that will encourage them to work for. I mean, our company did something like during the pandemic, wellness day, every quarter we had a day off, which was like brilliant. And then the employees really loved it, right? It's a great approach. It shows that you care, but also it increased the productivity of the company as well. That one day off globally, it was never a loss. It was fantastic for the organization. The morale, the boost that the people got was amazing.
It reminds me of the bank holiday weekends we've had in the UK recently, where everybody I speak to says, yeah, it's great. I'm only working 4 days this week, but I actually have to put 5 days worth of effort into those 4 days. So actually productivity is about the same.
Yeah. It's about, I think like people like that extra day of nobody is reaching out to them to do things. And this, you know, you need to spend time. I know pandemic people are like, now we can't spend time with the family anymore. We've been doing that for so long. I want a way out. But I think like it does help people to suddenly ramped up, and you need to have that, you know, gradual introduction to the full-time working. And this helps a little bit here and there, small things, but it does matter.
And you mentioned the kind of big impetus around digital marketing right now. What do you think happens to that next? You know, if you're looking ahead, how do you see digital marketing changing and evolving over the next few years?
I think it is growing faster and it will continue to grow because we are unlocking new things within digital marketing, which we were previously not looking at, right? Even the data, how we are securing it, using the channels of virtual reality to reach out to people. You have virtual events now where you can go in and have almost a in-person event experience. You can go into a room, you can meet people. It's the second coming of the second life, so to speak. And the metaverse is the other one that is booming in, right? So we don't know fully yet. I mean, but everybody's willing to explore now. Many of the CEOs and the organization who are not very keen on this now are very much attached to it. Now they know, like, you know, another pandemic struck, you cannot go out of business. Many businesses went bankrupt, right? So they want to make sure like they are having that insurance. So they are investing heavily in terms of evolving that further, right? Getting more data, reaching the audience in different ways, that not the traditional channels. It's going to grow bounds and leaps.
Is there a downside to that? What are the sorts of hurdles that you think business marketers might need to overcome?
I think it is the way of working, definitely. If you look into marketing, you have these global marketers and the field marketers who are very much linked to the customer, facing the customer, talking to the customer. That in-person part may not be there anymore, right? I mean, of course, there are certain elements of it, but it may not be as continuous. The big events, I mean, it's slowly coming back. I mean, I recently went to Mobile World Congress. Suddenly, 60,000 people, even with masks, turned up, right? Above 100,000. So it's like people were dying to see it. I mean, it is very funny in the sense you see people and somebody calls you by name, you turn around, and normally you will see people smiling at you. This is like everybody's wearing a mask. You can't make it. We never looked at people and studied their eyes so much, right? So that's very odd. But yeah, I mean, I think like, you know, the approach needs to change for marketeers. The collaterals, there is no, and again, when you look into, even though things have been moving from hard copy to digital for a while, you don't want to touch and feel things anymore because people are scared of like, okay, I don't want to catch any virus. So I want to consume it. So you really need to build that comfort level. Even the, you know, the experienced senders needed to be looking at how can we socially distance things. You make a conference, you say earlier you could plan for 5 people in a room, fantastic debate. Now you need to have plan for 5 people room should be like, you know, accommodating like 10 people or 10 people room accommodating 5 people. So you need to have that social. So these are some of the aspects that you need to think when you are approaching the customer and the channels. But yeah, it's an approach that needs to be drastically changed. I would assume it's still evolving. So there is no silver bullet yet to tackle those things, right? People are learning, people are getting used to it as well.
And what about the opportunities that are associated with the same for business marketers? What can you really see business marketers being able to benefit from in this new digital world?
It is the reachability. The reachability in the sense and accessibility to customers. Earlier, it used to be difficult because people have been traveling. Even many of these events, when you do a webinar, for example, you wouldn't get that many people say, oh, I will do on demand because I'm traveling. I cannot look at this. Now, the consumption digitally has gone really, really high. People are like sitting over there and consuming one after the other. Now, I've seen customers reaching out to us asking for more material. Earlier, we used to chase them to say, have you looked at this? Have you seen this? You know, so things have changed a little bit over there. So that's a great opportunity. So the accessibility has increased. You are not restricted by the travel times, etc., the time zones, etc. You know, it's so you get that. I think that's a great opportunity for marketeers.
So on to the bit of chat where I ask you for your kind of recommended reading list. And in light of the of what you've just said, I'm going to allow you to, if you want to, put webinars onto this as well. But what would you really recommend that our listeners read or listen to or watch?
I think like one of the things from my personal experience, you know, we call about like challenging the status quo, right? I mean, you really need to keep on asking the whys and the why nots when something is put onto you. It'll help you to stretch the organization a little bit, stretch your imagination, make sure you stand out in the crowd and see different ways of doing things. So one of the, I won't call it like a marketing book. One book that resonated highly with me is like this book called Be More Pirate. I don't know whether you've read that or How to Take on the World and Win. It's by Sam Conniff. It's really good about, you know, being a pirate is like challenging the authority and bringing the good trouble in terms of for the greater purpose and a positive objective, right? And we call about positive disruption. And there were things about like, you know, you ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Sometimes you have to. If you wait for all the ducks to be in a row, it is difficult to get things done. Your pace of change will be really slow. So you go ahead and do it. As long as your intention is good and you can justify what you're doing, I think it is worth trying. So Be More Pirate, it resonated very well with me. I can see you smiling.
So, like, you know, so we've got to get our eye patches at the ready then, maybe. People want to find out more about Juniper Networks, what should they do?
There's a website, of course. It's a key for us, juniper.net. Then follow our social channels, whether it's Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. We have our execs coming and talking to people every now and then, the blogs that we post. So that's a great place. And then we do run like several programs for our partners, for people who want to come in, researchers, etc. So do, you know, get in touch with us and we are more than happy to take people through the greatest and the latest that's coming from Juniper.
Yeah, it's wonderful to talk to you today. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you. Thank you. This is great.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Jay Tadil. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at daystevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.